Alrighty, well, welcome to another Sunday evening. Zion's Trumpet, yours truly, Brother Daniel. How's everybody doing this evening? Everybody looks like doing good. Alright. Well, we have a couple announcements here to make before we start. First one is, I started to play the violin, and I broke it already. I bought a violin last week, and I started to play it, and I was tuning it up, and I broke it, like 3 days after I played it, so that's discouraging. So you pray for me that I'm going to learn a violin, and I keep at it after I get it fixed. The other one's kind of sobering. Sissy, I don't think, will be here tonight because her mother passed away. I think it was Tuesday she called me. I can't remember. Tuesday or Wednesday she called me, and she said they drove up here to Pennsylvania. In Lititz, her mother was from Lititz. And she called and said they just passed away. She was with her when she went, and she said it was very peaceful, very calm. She felt the presence of the Lord. And while she was crying and things, she just called to let me know to pray for her, keep her in prayer. So you guys want to keep her in prayer this week. We're going to send her some flowers tomorrow. I don't think she's home tonight. She said she probably wouldn't be in the room because she wouldn't be back. So we're going to send her some flowers tomorrow. I think she'll probably be back tomorrow. I'm not sure. So you want to keep her and her family in prayer? Please do. she's going to probably share when she comes back next week, probably. She said she'll share something with you all. What we say, anybody have anything to share? Yes, she is, Kim. She is. Very dedicated, sweet person. Sister in the Lord. Anybody have anything like to share right off hand and get off the bat before we start tonight?
I have something to share.
Huh?
I have something to share.
Oh, wait a minute. We're going to do something unusual here today. Looks like the mama has something to share right away. She's not going to wait for you folks. Okay.
Hi, everyone. I wanted to share this first because once Daniel gets started, I know he's not going to be talking anything about what I'm going to say, and I didn't want to interrupt his train of thought at the end. So I wanted to say this. It was on my heart. Last week, someone asked if anyone knew of anyone that celebrated the birth of Jesus in the New Testament. And I pondered over that a little, and I thought, well, yes, I know. I know some people that celebrated it. I know some angels, and I know some shepherds. And I thought of the angel the Lord said, the glory of the Lord showed about, and an angel said unto these shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so those angels left their heavenly estate to come down and to celebrate the birth of Christ. And then it says these shepherds went looking for him. They said that they told him, the angels told the shepherds that they'd find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And when they found him, they worshipped him, and they celebrated his birth. And then it says they went abroad and told everybody the things that the angel had told them, and the people thought in wonderment. So I'm sure that anyone that received that word celebrated his birth. And then we had the three kings, three very wise, who traveled far and quite long to celebrate his birth. And when they found him, they gave him birthday gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And you know, God really celebrated his birth by putting a star in the sky, or else using one that he had already put in. And he led those wise men from afar, a long distance, with this star. So there we have a multitude of angels, multitude of people, shepherds and kings that celebrated his birth. I just want to bring that in. But, you know, I have a little short testimony. My husband and I belonged to a group of people. We were affiliated with a group of people for about 10 years, and they didn't keep Christmas. And these were people that came out of the church system in the 1960s and 70s. And we lived with them for 4 years on end time farms. And there was such life coming forth, and such the Lord was revealing such wonderful truth through His Word and His Spirit and each other, that we didn't miss Christmas one bit. However, when we left that group, we started home meetings. And then the people we were fellowshipping with kept the day onto the Lord. And so we started to keep the day onto the Lord. And we really found it to be quite a blessing. And then I thought of the Apostle. I wanted to say this. If the Apostle Paul would visit our little chat room, and we would ask him this, what he thinks about it, I'm sure that he would reply by saying what he wrote in Romans 14, 5, and 6. One man esteemeth one day above another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own heart. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. So, I'd like to say to all you who keep the day, and to all you who do not keep the day, I'd like to say a great big shalom, and may you have a good year walking daily with Jesus. Thank you.
There you go, folks. Let's see. Sissy's here. Sissy, did you want to say anything? I already told him about your mother. I just told him that she passed away and you might not be here. If you want to say anything, you're welcome to.
Hi, everybody. It really is good to be back. Thank you so much for your prayers. I appreciate that. I just want to kind of glorify the Lord and raise Him up and thank Him for bringing me through and my family through what we just went through. I can't tell you enough how the presence of the Lord was there with us, how He worked everything out to a T. We missed that big storm that was coming up to where my brother lived. I think they had something like 15 inches of snow. Joe decided the last minute, we need to leave Friday. So her funeral was Friday, and we got together as a family, and we broke bread together and enjoyed some time together just talking about Mom and everything. And then we headed home, and it was dark, and it was starting to snow, but the Lord brought us safely home. And just in time for me to be here to receive my daughter and her children and her husband as they came down from Michigan to visit us. And so it's just amazing. It's amazing to me how the Lord just works everything out. He took care of details that I can't even begin to talk about because it's just too many. But I truly felt, the comfort of the Lord. And he'll see us through. I mean, He gave her a long life, and I thank the Lord for that. So thank you all so much. Thanks for the opportunity. God bless Brother Dan and your wonderful family.
Amen. Good testimony, Sissy. Everybody here loves you, and is praying for you. And I ask them to pray for you this week. Hold you up this week, too. And let the Lord's with you. Amen. Kim, looks like Kim has her hands up. Go ahead, Kim, you got the mic.
I'm sorry, my mic wasn't plugged in. I just wanted to say that ever since Annabelle and Mom Annabelle and Dan and them have brought me to the Lord, they've always invited us over for Christmas, and it's always been a very special time, and it's some of my best memories in getting to know Jesus through them and then coming to know the Lord myself, and I just wanted to thank them for that.
Well, thanks, sister. Alrighty. Enough for Christmas now. Let's see. Did anybody want to share anything? Anybody else have anything to share before we start? I'm sorry, but I didn't really get any songs together this week. I was kind of busy. Next week I'll do a couple, right? I promise. I had a couple things on mine this week. One of them was due to a situation we're in with a person who were kind of trying to help. And there's an issue of being led by the Spirit there versus being led by the Bible and be hearing the Spirit. And he's being accused of some things. He's taking a stand based on what he's heard from the Spirit. And he's being accused of listening to wrong spirits and not following the Bible and different things. So, also, there's some stuff I didn't get through last week. And I just wanted to bring out one or two things concerning Revelation, because I remember we talked about Revelation, and I don't have a lot of teaching on Revelation. I can't explain a lot of things in that book. I don't have a lot of answers for everything. I don't know a lot of the meanings, interpretations. But I do have a few things God showed me. And based on those few things God showed me, I can tell when somebody's going off on a lot of error regarding the timing of certain things. So I was going to just touch on that quick, too. The seals, the trumpets, and walking by the Spirit, hearing by the Spirit, okay? So we looked at how seducing spirits can compare Scripture with Scripture last week, if you remember, in people's minds, and in so doing, lead them away from the truth, or from the proper interpretation of what the Bible's trying to say on a certain subject. An example I used last week was this Bible teacher who was giving his view of the two witnesses in the book of Revelation, and he sought to expose the traditional view of these people as error, and I agree it is error. The traditional view of them, I agree, is error. But then he went on to replace the traditional error with his own error, which, and that error, I believe, is rooted in some things. It's rooted in a rejection of several truths. One of the truths is that there's a first fruits or a remnant of the church that's going to go into perfection before the rest of the church. Another truth he's unaware of or has rejected is that the two-witness ministry is going to be a very unusual ministry. It's going to be a ministry of judgment. And that those who take part in that ministry, they're going to do things that most of today's believers would view as unchristian and unloving. And because he's rejected those two basic truths, his view of the two witnesses is really skewed, as far as I'm concerned. And in order to make this people and whoever it is in their ministry fit into his, you know, doctrinal mold, he sought to change and deny all kinds of things in those scriptures in chapter 11, which we went through, that John so clearly said about that ministry. And he tried to turn what's going to be a harsh ministry of judgment, which is going to be executed by divine power, into a, you know, your typical Christian evangelistic ministry. Okay, and he did that by comparing Scripture with Scripture. And last week we ended with his interpretation of how, exactly how the two witnesses are going to do the things John said they're going to do, like shut the heavens so it doesn't rain, turn the waters to blood, smite the earth with all manner of plagues, and so on. And I said he compared that passage, to get the meaning of that passage, he compared it to another passage. And the one he compared it to is Revelation chapter 8, which is the blowing of the trumpets, the seven trumpets. And he said the blowing of the first four trumpets was the result of, or the fulfillment of, the prayers of the two witnesses. In other words, the two witnesses don't directly themselves turn the water into blood, or directly themselves shut heaven, or directly smite the earth with plagues. They just go out and preach the gospel, and their prayers and their preaching, their prophesying moves things in heavens, and at some point God himself sends the angels to do all these things. Now, they have no idea when they're going to be done. They're not doing it themselves. They're just out there, you know, preaching the gospel, basically. It says, since the two witnesses are going to be, in his mind, the whole end time church, they also have to be their, you know, your typical Christians. They can't possibly slay their enemies, like it says they're going to do that, directly or indirectly. And they can't be calling down plagues on the earth themselves, or turning the water to blood themselves, or closing the heavens themselves. You know, to do those things would be very unchristlike. It wouldn't be a good Christian testimony. See, in order to be a good Christian witness, they have to be basically powerless, just like we are right now. We have to go through life being trampled on, being abused, and all we can do is pray for deliverance, you know, for those, you know, who are trampling us under their feet. And the prayers of our deliverance are going to heaven. And it's going to be the same way with them. The prayers of their deliverance, for their deliverance, and the abuse they're taking all goes up into heaven. It's collected in the altar of incense. At some point, an angel comes out, takes fire and those prayers from the incense, throws them to the earth, and what you see next is the trumpets start blowing. The trumpets actually produce the plagues, turning the sea to blood and all that. And I said last week, I don't have a time to, you know, to go into that interpretation and show what's wrong with it. But I just want to do that this week. It won't take long. It's pretty simple to explain why that's wrong. But I'm going to read some scripture. You're going to be reading a lot of scripture tonight, okay? He's saying an event which is clearly said to take place sixth, and the seventh trumpet is actually going to take place before the sixth and seventh trumpet. Also, he's saying the 3.5-year ministry of the two witnesses, that 3.5-year ministry they carry out, that's going to be during the first 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation, when I believe the text implies very strongly that it's going to be in the last 3.5 years of tribulation. Now, I know, I realize that some people, and I think there's a couple brothers in this room even, that believe the tribulation's only going to be 3.5 years long, not 7. I don't want to get into an argument about that or debate about it. I will be fair and explain the two views here quick so we know what we're talking about, okay? In Daniel's famous prophecy of the first coming of the Messiah, he talks in periods of prophetic weeks. Prophetic weeks, okay? A prophetic week is a week of years, not a week of days. So every prophetic week represents a 7-year period. And 70 weeks total are mentioned in the prophecy in Daniel about the coming of the Messiah and him being cut off. And there were 69 weeks until the Messiah came, and then he was cut off. Then there's a 2,000-year gap, and then there's a final week, and that week will also be a week of 7 years, just like all the other weeks were weeks of 7 years. However, there is an alternative view of those 70 weeks. Some see the first 3.5 days, that would be the first 3.5 years of that week, that was the ministry of Jesus, and he was cut off after that. So what happens is you got a view where only the only time period that remains to be fulfilled is not the whole week, but only the last 3.5 years of that last prophetic week. The first 3.5 years, some people see as carried out by Jesus' ministry. In other words, in this view, the 2,000-year gap falls in the middle of Daniel's 70th week, not at the beginning of it. Okay, if the 2,000-year gap falls in the middle of the week, then the Great Tribulation is going to go and last 3.5 years. If the 2,000-year gap falls at the beginning of the week, then the Great Tribulation is going to last 7 years. Okay, that's the difference. So At this point, I still hold a 7-year tribulation view, and you're going to see why shortly. And as I said last week, you have to be careful when we're going through the Book of Revelation and interpreting it because it's filled with symbolic language. It's filled with word pictures. And also, in many places, Revelation folds back into itself, goes back, it zooms back, and it'll zoom in on a specific aspect of some event John has just seen or described. So some portions of Revelation are chronological in order, and other portions of it are not. But there's some, and it's confusing, okay? So that's why I get so many different interpretations. But there's some things you can be sure of, a few things you can be sure of, just by virtue of reading the text as far as timing goes. This doesn't have anything to do with interpreting the symbols, just by virtue of reading the text and seeing what the timing is, there's a few things you can be sure of. Okay, and one of them is I'm going to describe here right now. One thing you can be sure of is the 7 trumpets do not blow before the 7th seal has been opened, because it's clear from the text itself that the 7 trumpets make up the 7th seal. Okay, you read the Revelation, you go through there, you have the 7 seals being broken. Okay, and when the 7th seal is broken, that seal consists of 7 trumpets. The 7 trumpets are the 7th seal. Okay, so we're going to go through this a little bit tonight just to read the scriptures and give you an idea of the timeline here. Revelation 8, 1 through 6. We're going to start there. It says, "And when he had opened the 7th seal, there was silence in heaven about a space of a half an hour. And I saw the 7 angels which stood before God, and to them were given 7 trumpets. Another angel came and stood at the altar, having the golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which is before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came up with the prayers of the saints, ascended before God out of the angel's hand, and the angel took the censer, and filled it with fire off the altar, and cast it into the earth, and there were voices, and thunderings, and lightnings, and an earthquake, and the 7 angels, which had the 7 trumpets, prepared themselves to sound." Okay, so you have this is a chronological sequential events here. You have the opening of the first seal, the opening of the second seal, the opening of the third, fourth, fifth, sixth seal. Then you have the opening of the 7th seal. When the 7th seal is open, there is a space of half an hour of silence. And then you see what happens about the altar there with the prayers and the fire. And then the 7 trumpets are given, 7 angels are given 7 trumpets, and they're about to sound those trumpets. So regardless of what all the seals and the trumpets symbolize, the text makes it clear that the 7 trumpets are all part of the 7th seal, okay? Indeed, the 7 trumpets are the 7th seal. They constitute the 7th seal. And when the 7th trumpet sounds, this is what's said. Like, you know, you go through all the trumpets there, and when you get down to the last trumpet, the 7th trumpet, this is what's said about the 7th trumpet. In Revelation 11, 15 through 19, it says this, "And the 7th angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken thee to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged. And that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants and prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of the testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and earthquake and great hail. Now, there's a little portion that describes the seventh trumpet in chapter 10. That was chapter 11. There's another thing it says about the seventh trumpet in chapter 10. It says this in chapter 10, 5 through 7. It says, And the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land lifted up his right hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things in it, and the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it, that there should be delay no longer, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, that's the seventh trumpet, okay? But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he's about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished, as he preached to his servants, the prophets, okay? So you have this sequential event. You have the first seven seals are open. When the seven seals open, all these seven angels are given trumpets, and the seven angels come out and they start blowing the trumpets. And the seventh trumpet sounds. This is what's said about the seventh trumpet. There will be delay no longer. The mystery of God's going to be finished. All right, all the other things just read. So I believe the seventh trumpet in Revelation, chapter 11, is the same trumpet that Paul referred to when he said, at the sound of the last trump, the dead in Christ would rise. 1 Corinthians 15, okay? I believe the seventh trumpet's also the trumpet Jesus talked about in Matthew 24:31, where he said he would send his angels with the sound of a trumpet, a loud trumpet, in order to gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to another, okay? When the seventh angel blows a seventh trumpet, the Lord's going to return. The mystery of God will be finished. Okay. So when you read this portion of Revelation, you can be sure of a few things, whether no matter what kind of interpretation you get out of them, what they represent, what's going to happen when they're blown. There's a couple things you can get. First of all, the trumpets and the seals are not different descriptions of the same events. Like some things are. Some things fold back in Revelation. Then you're getting two different views of the same events. A view from heaven, a view from some other angle. That's not what this is. The trumpets and the seals are not different descriptions of the same events. The seals represent one set of events. The trumpets represent a completely different set of events. Okay. Second, the events of the trumpets follow the events of the seals. So regardless of how long of a period all these seals and all these trumpets take, you know, I don't know how long it's going to take for all those seals to open and all the trumpets to be blown, regardless of how long that period is there, this particular portion of Revelation is chronological in order. Okay, you have the seven seals being opened one at a time, and when you get to the seventh seal, that seventh seal contains seven trumpets, and then the seven trumpets are blown one at a time. It's a chronological thing right there. The seals of the trumpets are chronological. And this is what it says about the seven trumpets. We're going to read this. Just go through it quick. You know, I'm not going to try and interpret it. Just read it. Just get the text in your mind. You know what I mean? It's good to just hear the text read. And that's in Revelation 8. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Now this is after the seventh seal is broken. Okay? This is when the seventh seal is broken. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood, and a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. And a third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were as a lamp, and it fell upon the third of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters, and the name of the star was called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died in the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them were darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. Now, again, I'm not trying to interpret those symbols, what they all mean, right? We're just merely looking at what the text actually says. And what I want you to notice here is that the angel says, At the end of the fourth trumpet, the angel says, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound. Okay, so the last three trumpets, number 5, 6, and 7, they're also called woes, the three woes. Okay, the three woes of the last three trumpets. Now, I remember this Bible teacher said that the first four trumpets are the result of the prayers and the prophecy of the two witnesses being answered. Well, in order for that to be true, that would have to mean that the two witnesses went forth and began their ministry before the first trumpet even sounded. All right? If the first four trumpets are the result of their ministry, they had to go out before that first trumpet even sounded to start doing the ministry. Okay? And since the first trumpet is at the beginning of the seventh seal, what that means is, in order for what he's saying to be true, the two witnesses went forth as part of the sixth seal, you know, as part of the end of the sixth seal somewhere, or at the very least between the end of the sixth seal and the very beginning of the seventh seal. Okay, and that's utterly impossible according to the timing of the text itself, because the seals and the trumpets are different sets of events, and they're in chronological order. And as we shall see in a few minutes also, according to the text itself, the ministry of the two witnesses takes place during the sixth trumpet. So it couldn't be possibly taking place during the sixth seal. Okay, the fifth trumpet now is in Revelation 9, verse 1.